The view of Liberal Democrats is that the free movement of labour is something that's very important to the successful functioning of the European Union. It's a good thing for the British economy. There are millions of British people who live elsewhere in Europe, people who are working, people who are retired, but that the freedom of movement should not be the freedom to claim benefit. And we've made steps in government, and we would continue with those steps to ensure that people who come here from other parts of the European Union, using their right to free movement to come to the UK to work, to help our economy, are not able just to claim benefits instantly, that it's not a kind of free-for-all in the UK welfare system. I think that's the issue that perhaps I fully understand upsets a lot of people.
Say another few million people come to the UK in the next decade, which, based on previous years, isn't totally far-fetched. Would that really be not an issue? I mean, we've got to afford extra schools, health services, we've got to create jobs for these people. I mean, free movement does have a price.
Think the issue is to make sure that we have the public services that we need, that we have the that we make the investment that we need to support the population of the country as a whole,
Why not just cater for who we have already?
and that, to make the second point, and that the people who are coming here to do jobs that need to be done, that we are making every effort to train people from the United Kingdom to do those jobs. As our economy grows and as we have an aging population and there are, for example, greater demands in the care sector, we are going to need people to do those jobs, both British people and in some cases it will be migrant workers too.
UKIP says that EU membership costs 10% of GDP a year. They quote two economists, Patrick Minford and Tim Congdon, who've come up with that figure. Are they right?
No, it's total nonsense. Britain gains much more from our EU membership than we lose. These sorts of myths about the EU have been put around by Eurosceptics and anti-Europeans for years, but the truth is that there are millions of people in this country who have jobs because we're part of the European Union. The European single market means that businesses based in the UK have a home market, if you like, of 500 million people. And a lot of businesses choose to locate in the UK because we've got a great workforce, we've got highly skilled people, but also because we've got access to that European single market.
It is a very different proposition, though, isn't it, the European Union, to the 1970s, which is the last time that Britain's had a vote on it, a referendum rather than a general election. Given that the EU has changed so much in size in terms of the number of countries in it, why not give people the chance to vote?
Well, you're right that the European Union has changed over the years. Our view is that, as in other European countries, when there is a treaty change, when there is a development which involves the greater pooling of national sovereignty at a European level, that should be agreed by the people of the United Kingdom in a referendum, much as has happened in France and in Ireland and in other EU member states. But that the idea that we would call a referendum off our own bat, that we would just say, for domestic political reasons, because there are divisions in the Conservative Party or whatever, we're going to call a referendum apropos of nothing, that is the wrong approach. It would be damaging economically. It would cause a lot of
It's not apropos of nothing,
instability.
Danny. There's this huge demand for the right to choose.
Well, it is apropos of nothing in the sense that there's no change being put forward to the state of our membership of the European Union. We should be focused on leading the debate in Europe on things like completing the single market, on things like ensuring that there's a single market in digital services, in energy, and so on, which can actually help to create jobs in the UK and create jobs across the rest of the European Union.
You talk in your manifesto about sort of finishing the job, if you want, of economic recovery. But if you actually look at GDP per head, i.e. in the midst of a rising population, we haven't even got back to the wealth that we had before the financial crisis. It's a myth that we've had any sort of recovery, isn't it?
It is not a myth. It is a fact. And I was just hearing recently from the International Monetary Fund, who were praising the progress that the United Kingdom has made almost alone in Europe of having a strong economic recovery. You know, we now in the United Kingdom have the largest number of people in work ever in our country's history. We have the highest employment
rates. That's because our population is higher than it's
ever
been in our country's history.
Actually, that's wrong, because we also have the highest employment rate ever since figures have started to be collected. So on both measures, we have a population that is working harder than ever before.
They may
More
be
people
in
in
work,
work.
But the GDP per head is still not where it was. So that's maybe a clue as to why people don't feel as well off as they were.
Well, what we've seen over the last 5 years, after what was one of the worst financial and economic crises for many, many decades, is because of the action that Liberal Democrats have taken in government, we're seeing our deficit coming down, we're seeing our economy returning to strong growth. in 2014, the fastest growing of any of the major developed economies in the world. There's a lot more to be done. But when you look at what we've achieved, because we've had a stable, balanced plan put forward by a coalition government, shaped by myself and other Liberal Democrat ministers, I'm proud of what we've achieved.
The UKIP party wants to slash the foreign aid budget from roughly £11 billion a year to £2 billion a year. A House of Commons report recently said that more than £1 billion alone went to consultancy firms. Isn't it fair that there is a lot of this money that goes to places that might be either ineffective or is simply wasted?
Well, I have to say, as the Chief Secretary of the Treasury over the last 5 years, who's been involved in making these decisions, it's one of the things that I am most proud of, is that the UK, even despite the difficult economic times, has ensured that we are spending 0.7% of our GDP on international aid, which is the commitment that, frankly, other countries also should be meeting. And of course, there's always an argument about the effectiveness of aid policy, and I think we've made a lot of strides forward on that over the last 5 years. The work that we're doing at the moment, for example, in Syria and in the countries around Syria that have had a huge influx of people who've been displaced because of the awful conflict in Syria, that's something we should all be very proud of. And, you know, in the end, I think it's a statement about our commitment to supporting other human beings on this planet who are less fortunate than we are. And frankly, committing 0.7% of our national income every year to that seems like a small price for something which is a very good and morally right goal. Something I've been involved in the Treasury, for which we've used some of the aid budget, is to support countries to strengthen their tax system. So, for example, in Ethiopia, in Pakistan, we've helped to multiply dramatically the amount of tax that is being collected, because we've helped those countries to develop a better tax laws, a more effective tax collection system. Because in the end, of course, far better that those countries are collecting the taxes for themselves rather than having to rely on aid. But it's the UK's commitment, often alone amongst countries in the world, to say, we've got expertise in this area, we're going to spend some money to support you to help make your own economy, your own financial system more sustainable.
The Liberal Democrats are big supporters of environmental levies on not just heavy industry, but also home energy bills here in the UK. UKIP thinks there's no proof that climate change is man-made, that these energy levies are a waste of money, a waste of time. The Energy Intensive Users Group, heavy industry, say that they add a huge amount and a growing amount to their costs. How are you so convinced that these levies aren't just wasted and are just a burden on industry?
Well, frankly, I think it's extraordinary that there could be anybody involved in politics these days who continues to claim that climate change doesn't exist or it's not a man-made phenomenon. I was looking at recently at the latest report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The science is 100% clear. There's no doubt about it. And I think the idea that there's anybody who could be saying we should base our policy on the idea that climate change doesn't exist is, I'm afraid, living in total cloud cuckoo land. I think one of the biggest responsibilities that we have, both in the UK and in Europe and in the wider world, is to reduce our carbon emissions. The environmental levies are part of that, and they help to support sustainable, renewable energy generation. By the way, of course, electricity generation in other areas is also in different ways heavily subsidised. And so actually, I think the overall impact on people is to have more stable, more secure supplies of energy to make Britain and indeed the EU more energy independent, so that we're not dependent on unstable regimes in various parts of the world, on the Russians or whatever.
But isn't this just sending emissions overseas? I mean, what happens now is the things that used to be made in the UK and in the EU are now made in China, because the factories there don't have as stringent a levy. So we've just transferred the pollution to another country that doesn't scrutinise its emissions as much as we do. But you could argue we lose.
Well, I think that's a council of despair, because actually I think that all countries around the world are recognising that they have a responsibility to act in this area. And in fact, it's been very interesting in the last couple of years the way both the Chinese and the Americans have changed their views and are really taking steps to tackle climate change in their own countries.
They're still opening dozens, if not hundreds, of coal-fired power plants.
Of course, there's a lot more to do, but the idea that, therefore, that we as the UK and indeed as the European Union should not be acting on this because of that, I think, is wrong. But also, I'd say, there's a big economic opportunity in this. You know, the UK, for example, has a fantastic automotive sector. I want the United Kingdom to be the world leader in developing ultra-low emission vehicles, electric cars that can replace those polluting petrol and diesel powered vehicles over the next few decades, I think there's a huge economic opportunity for the United Kingdom in being a centre for marine energy, for wave and tidal power. The development of, for example, of the tidal lagoons in Swansea Bay, which we're taking forward, that's something which both can produce energy for the United Kingdom, but also can test and develop a technology which we can then sell around the world.
I'm just wondering about what the Liberal Democrats stand for now in 2015. You've been tarnished by coalition. You've lost your sort of international liberal heart. Do you know what you stand for anymore?
What you see at the heart of our manifesto is a vision for the United Kingdom as a country which offers opportunity for everyone. You know, I grew up in a very humble background in the communities in the far north of Scotland. I've been fortunate in my life in terms of education and the support that I've had to get to the sort of position I've been in the last 5 years. But when I look round the cabinet table and when I look round many of our leading professions in the UK, I still see too many people who've come from privileged backgrounds. And that is, I think, a big challenge for the UK. How do we change that? We have to have a strong economy, but we also have to have a government that's focused on fairness, that's focused on investing in education. That is something which none of the other parties are offering. Instead, you see a very harsh vision from the Conservatives. You see a cluelessness about the economy from the Labour Party, which I think many people find very, very worrying. So, of course, we have a very different vision to any of the other parties. I think we've shown over the last 5 years in coalition government that we can take responsibility, that we can make the right decisions, that we can keep a government anchored in the centre ground. We've had the Tory party on a short leash for these last 5 years, and that's worked for the United Kingdom. And I think if you want to keep things working for the United Kingdom, you need Liberal Democrats in government again.